tighten up your batting gloves and get in the box. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The Blue Jays Red Sox were supposed to get going 5 minutes ago, but that didn't happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but they are in a rain delay to begin the game. Lots of lightning, lots of thunder, lots of ugly, and we heard it in the first part of our pregame show talking to Joe Siddall, but not in this last part. The lightning and thunder seem to have moved away, and the fans are being allowed back into the seating bowl at Fenway Park. So that's good news, and it means one hopes that soon we're going to have baseball in Boston. When we do, it will be Jay Happ against Clay Buchholz, and the Blue Jays will be trying to get back on the winning track. They had their 5-game win streak snapped last night. They lose 8-6 in 10 innings, 2 blown saves in the game for the Blue Jays for the first time this season. And what do we do when the game goes into a rain delay? Well, we throw the phone lines open. We talk to y'all. The rain delay program is upon us at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. As we sit here right now, the Blue Jays are a full game back of the New York Yankees for that for second place in the AL East. The Yankees have won. They beat the Kansas City Royals 6-2 behind Brandon McCarthy, who has just been tremendous since coming over to the Yankees. Oakland beat Houston 4-3 this afternoon. The Giants took down Detroit 5-4. Madison Bumgarner with his 17th win of the season. And Tampa Bay beat the Orioles by a score of 3-2. Right now, it's nothing-nothing in the bottom of the first. Indians and White Sox, the Seattle Mariners, who hold the second wild card spot in the American League by 5 games over the Blue Jays, 4 over the Yankees, 4.5 over the Indians. The Tigers are a game back with their loss today. Seattle is at Texas in a game that gets going in about 45 minutes or so, with Chris Young up against the rookie Nick Martinez. So right now, we have the Blue Jays third in the East, 9.5 games behind the Baltimore Orioles, who lost today. The Yankees are 8.5 back, and the Jays are 5 back in the wild card race. Melky Cabrera out for the season. We know that, with a broken finger yesterday. And today, no Colby Rasmus. Kevin Pillar in left, Anthony Gose in center field for the Blue Jays as they try to get that win streak going again. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. And long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin with Nathan in Thornhill, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nathan, you're the leadoff man on the rain delay program.
Mike, great show as always.
Oh,
so just a few points from last night. I'm not a big fan of the infield shift. I think it makes it too easy for the hitter just to find a spot, hit a single. And that happened a couple of times. Second point, I would not take Goins off the field regardless. I'd even play him at shortstop and DH Reyes if I had to. I'm not sure if Reyes, he might be injured. It seems he's fine running the bases, but pushing off left to right, there seems to be a problem. And I wouldn't have Francisco on the field either. I would have put in Dan Johnson. So those are my points for last night.
All right. I Dan Johnson played first base a couple of times in his first go-around with the Blue Jays and looked really, really bad. I mean, he's been a good first baseman for his whole career. Not great, but he's been fine. But he looked awful. And I can see how that first impression can stick with you. Juan Francisco is a fine first baseman. I have no issue with Juan Francisco first. I don't think that would have made a difference either way. The Reyes thing is really curious. I wouldn't DH him, because if you DH him, then you're losing one of Adam Lind or Edwin Encarnacion, and you don't want that to happen. I mean, maybe against a lefty, you do DH him, and you put Ryan Goins at short and Tolleson at second and Valencia at third and John Mayberry in left field and Pillar in center. I mean, that's something that you can certainly think about doing. I think this is what you get. And the people who were watching the TV broadcast, the pregame show about 20 minutes ago when I was on there, this is Jose Reyes. I mean, he's not a good shortstop. But Derek Jeter's not a good shortstop. And the New York Yankees managed to get in the playoffs for a lot of years having a below average guy playing short. You can do it, but you just, you know, you need some help at other places. And a healthy Blue Jays team with Brett Laurie at third and Ryan Goins at second does cover up a lot of Jose Reyes's lack of range. And unfortunately, with Laurie out, it has really, really showed up.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is right now. I mean, anyways, that's my point. But he, you know, we can't continue with Reyes playing like this. It's just giving away the game. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I mean, you're getting a lot from him offensively, and I know that people tend to ignore that when you see someone make a misplay or not make a play on the field. But he's still a very, very good offensive shortstop. And I don't know where his future is, but I think that it's tough. It's very tough to move that guy off short, the same way it was tough to move Derek Jeter off short, and it never happened. And it should have happened 10 years ago. Noel is in London. Noel, you're up next on the rain delay program. Hello, Noel.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good. You know, fun game last night for sure. I don't disagree with the Norris move on Ortiz. You had two outs. The guy's got a, you know, the reputation, even though it's in the minors, of striking people out. So I think that was a good move. I don't understand the Craveman move in the eighth. You know, his first kick at the can, 3-run lead in Fenway. They got to win that ball game, Mike. I don't. With all those arms in the bullpen, I just don't know why he went to. I just don't know why he went to him, and I don't know that he should be faulted. He's just he's chomping at the bit to get in there. But I don't know. I think that situation in the eighth inning of a game that they got to win calls for some experience. Don't you?
I don't know if it necessarily calls for experience. I mean, it was a far bigger situation that Daniel Norris was put into than the Kendall Graveman was put into. And Daniel Norris has just the same amount of experience as Graveman does, even less.
He's coming in with two outs, lefty on lefty.
Yeah, but he's facing the go-ahead run in one of the best hitters in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Where Graveman's coming in with a 3-run lead with nobody on base.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand that, but I'm just, I guess my thought is Norris has a reputation already in the minor league level of striking guys out with a wicked curveball and so on. And
well, yeah, but how do you think Graveman got to the big leagues? I mean, he's not, he wasn't a first-round pick or anything, but this is a guy who went through four levels of the minor leagues this year and who had an ERA under 2 in AA and AAA and A-ball. He's coming up here coming off a spectacular season. So,
and he said, you know, they've got some great young arms, and Mike, I'm not debating
right,
that.
No, but what I'm saying is if you're okay with Norris in a bigger spot, a huge spot, then you should probably be okay with Graveman with a 3-run lead starting an inning clean. That's all I'm suggesting.
Yeah, no, I get your point. I guess, you know, it's Fenway Park and you get guys. I don't know. The intensity of the Red Sox always seems to be ramped up when they play the Blue Jays.
Right, but why is it worse for Kendall Graveman than it is for Daniel Norris?
Well, because I think it was 4-3, right, when Norris came in.
Yeah, and with the winning run on base.
Oh, yeah, but the go-ahead run,
at-bat.
Yep, they still had a couple more at-bats. I just think once they got over that fire, over that hurdle, the next inning, It would have been nice to, just to bring in some experience and shut it down. But with a 3-run lead in 2 innings, you think, let's just put this thing away.
I think a lot of that, Noel, is hindsight talking. It really is. Because if you're okay with Norris, then there's no reason not to be okay with Graveman. Seriously.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out. But the truth of the matter is, too, Graveman gave up a hit, and Aaron Loop came in with a 3-run lead with the tying run still in the hole, and he wound up giving the game away. That's not Kendall Graveman's fault.
My fault is not with Graveman, and, like I say, you've got a pretty exciting young crew there in Toronto as far as arms go, so, you know, one could think that the next couple of years should be pretty interesting with all that pitching. And what about Brandon Morrow as a closer, Mike?
I think that's really, really intriguing. I really do. You know,
I
mean, if
he's 98 miles an hour last night, but I would almost think he could hit a 100 if he just had to come in for an inning, and he could be a pretty imposing closer, I think.
Yeah, I don't care if he hits 100 or not. If he's throwing 97, 98, that's fine with me.
And he's
throwing strikes.
Yeah. Throwing that 98 just coming back to it.
It is pretty tantalizing. It's true. And one wonders, and thanks for the call, Noel. One wonders if the Blue Jays might really look at that. I don't know if you want to spend $10 million on a closer next year who hasn't closed in 6 years in the major leagues. But it's really interesting. It really is. Phone lines are open. It's the rain delay program. We don't know when the game is going to start. We expect that the game will start, but we're taking your calls until then at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jake is in Innisfil, and J.D. Bunkus continues to be 0 for Innisfil on the program. Jake, go ahead.
That's very disappointing. Good evening, Mr. Wilner.
Good evening.
Before I get to my point, I just wanted to say I think you have a really cool job, and one day I'd love for you to write a book about your position as a psychotherapist, because I think it would be very interesting to read.
You know what I would have to do in order to do that is I would have to go back and listen to a lot of shows, because honestly, if people find this odd, I find it odd too. I'm like a closer as far as this gig goes. As soon as the show's over, I have zero memory of what we talked about or what people were calling in about. Like, I can't remember stuff, and it's insane. So I would have to do a whole lot of research again to be able to write a book like that. But it's a cool idea. Thank you.
Well, maybe one day, but more to what I want to talk about. I hear this idea, especially perpetuated in the media, that the Yankees and Red Sox next year are all of a sudden going to become these juggernauts again because they have these infinite payrolls and they're going to spend money and get superstars and the Jays won't have a chance. I'm not sure where that idea comes from or if some individuals haven't looked at what the free agent market is. But
I don't think it's all coming from the free agent market. I certainly expect the Yankees to trade for Troy Tulowitzki in the offseason. And part of the limitless payroll, when we talk about those teams, is that they can take on contracts and trade and make those kinds of deals to get better too.
They could do that, and maybe the Yankees will wind up with a guy like Troy Tulowitzki. But the Yankees don't really have a very good farm system, so maybe they can get one or two bad contracts. Yep. The Red Sox haven't really shown a willingness to want to trade young prospects under this new administration. So I genuinely believe that if the Jays improve in a few areas next year, defense being especially important, getting a catcher who can frame pitches also being important, that they could be right there again. I don't think this is a team in need of a teardown.
Oh, I don't think it's in need of a teardown either. I do think the Yankees and Red Sox will likely improve in the offseason. I don't think they're going to be this bad again. I really like the combination of things that the Blue Jays have with Encarnacion, Bautista, Lind, Reyes, whether they bring Melky back or not. And it did seem last night like he wants to stay, which is great. With the young pitching and the potential for some power arms in the bullpen, this is a team that has a chance to be very, very, very good. It had a chance to be very, very, very good this year, and they weren't. They're just good. But I do think that this is a team that has a great chance to be very good again next year.
And if I may add, if there's one free agent I would love to see the Jays go after, and it has nothing to do with his heritage, would be Russ Martin, because he could hit, and he's a really good pitch framer, and I think that the Jays' inability to turn balls into strikes and vice versa has hurt the pitching staff this year.
I don't think that they're going to be out looking for a catcher. I see where you're coming from, and I do think that you know, after watching Russ Martin get worked out by A.J. Burnett on a regular basis when they were both Yankees, I got a lot of time for Russ Martin behind the plate. I'll take your word that he's a good pitch framer. I'm sure you're telling me this because you've looked up some numbers.
Fangraphs.
Yeah, and I know Deonner Navarro is not. Okay, he carries a lot of strikes out of the zone, and he doesn't help his pitchers that way. But I don't think catching is going to be an area of need for the Blue Jays to address in the offseason.
Okay. Well, maybe the middle of the infield would be something that they could look after.
Yeah, one hopes. I mean, it would be nice to be settled at second. It would be great if they didn't go into next season saying Danny Valencia is going to be our third baseman and Brett Laurie is going to play second.
Boy.
Yeah, that worries me a little bit. But I do think that improvements will be made. Thanks for the call, Jake. I got to tell you that J.D. Bunkus, our fine producer, took another shot at Innisfil, and no closer. I'm sorry, not at all. Jim in Scarborough, you're next on the Rain Delay program.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, Jim.
I hope you're doing better than I am watching that game and listening to it last night.
That was a really entertaining game, though. It was a crappy way that it wound up. But that was a fun baseball game.
That's why I'm phoning about. Usually I know the managers can, you know, win a couple games once in a while with their moves, but last night's move, leaving Jansen in so long after he got the bases loaded.
But are you going to go to Todd Redmond or Sean Nolan in that spot?
Actually, you know what? The way Jansen has been, like, struggling since the All-Star break and bases loaded, one out, I might take a chance on that because he wasn't doing the job last night, and he hasn't done the job for quite a while.
It's not actually true. I mean, he's had three bad outings since the All-Star break, and he had a fourth in which he was asked to pitch a second inning after a perfect first inning, where he hasn't gone out for a second inning of work in over 2 years.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you're in the game to win.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And last night was a game they should have won.
Yes.
With two-run lead going into the 10th.
And with a three-run lead going into the 8th.
Yeah, and it was. But Jansen's supposed to be the closer.
Yes.
And in critical situations, I don't think he's been doing the job lately.
Well, again, like I said, it's not as bad as you think.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time I seem to watch or listen, and I get worried now when Jansen comes
up. Yeah, and people get worried right now when Casey Jansen comes into a game, and you know what? They should get worried when Casey Jansen comes into a game, and that's a real shame because Casey has been such an incredibly reliable relief pitcher over the course of the last 4 years. But the truth is going into last night, he'd pitched in 9 appearances, allowing a combined 1 run in his first inning of work. So it hasn't been as bad as the numbers indicate. The numbers are exploded because of 3 really bad outings. Again, one of which was when he was asked to work a second inning. So it really hasn't been that bad. And last night,
when I was watching the TV last night, yeah, listening, I could see Gibbons like leaning over the railing, going, "I'm sure it's going through his head. Should I pull him now?"
Yeah, it wasn't, because he knew what his options were, and his options were Redmond and Nolan. And look, the truth of the matter is, and I'm not here to say Casey Jansen pitched well last night. Certainly didn't pitch well, but the first 4 batters he faced, 3 ground balls and a bunt. They were all safe. 3 ground balls and a bunt. That's not Casey Jansen going out there and getting lit up last night.
No, but is it the defense? Was it positioned properly? Or
no, sometimes ground balls are going to get through.
Yeah,
but when you've got,
three,
you know,
and a bunt.
Jose, well, the bunt was a great bunt.
That was a good bunt. Unexpected, probably. But
unexpected where he put it, that's for
but
sure.
But still, you know, 3 ground balls, it should have been hit. Hopefully someone was going to be there, one of them.
Nobody was there.
I know. No one was there.
But that's the thing, right? When your pitcher's getting ground balls, it's tough to say, this guy's really not doing his job, and I'm going to bring in someone who I've never put in this situation before. Like your choices, right? One of your choices is Todd Redmond. The other choice...
Been, like, okay. He's been, like, all right.
He's been fine. The other choice is Sean Nolan, who's given up 6 runs and gotten 4 outs in his entire major league career. So you really, your only choice is Redmond. And I'm more comfortable with a guy who's, you know, been under that spotlight before and made it work. And again, the truth of the matter is the ground ball he got off the bat of Dustin Pedroia should have been a double play and should have ended the game.
Yeah, a little
and the Blue Jays couldn't turn it.
Yeah, player going to second, I know.
Yeah. So that's not Casey Jansen's fault.
No, I know that, but I was just like watching the game and going, okay, he's struggling. He's trying to get these guys out, and it wasn't happening for him.
Right. That's
so maybe
true.
A change would have been good.
Yeah. That's where we diverge.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
I appreciate
it. Great talking to you, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Get going.
I appreciate it a great deal. I appreciate it a lot. I hope we're going to have baseball. I don't know when we're going to have baseball, but it's a lot of fun taking phone calls until we do have baseball. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I don't know if you were paying attention or if you were listening about 45 minutes ago, and I was going over the scoreboard, and Oakland beat Houston 4-3. Chad Qualls came in the ninth inning to give up a two-run double and a walk-off RBI single. Chad Qualls has 5 losses this year. 4 of them are against Oakland. He's blown 4 saves against Oakland this year. And Chad Qualls' quote after the game was, in the words of Pedro Martinez, in 2014, the Oakland A's are my daddy, which is awesome. They've just destroyed him. And you know, the reason that the Oakland A's are hanging around still in a pennant race is because of Chad Qualls. And there are four times that he's blown a save and lost against them. So good self-actualization there by Chad Qualls. It will be Jay Happ against Clay Buchholz if this game gets underway. And we certainly hope it does. But until it does, more of your phone calls. Jeff is in Cambridge listening, I'm going to guess, on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Though it might be 570 News. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, no, still on 590. I just have a quick question for you regarding kind of our outfield situation with Gibbons kind of choosing Ghost and Pilar. Especially now with Cabrera, who's going to be gone. I have nothing against either of them. And I mean, they both think they're neither one of them are defensive liabilities, and they've got speed on the bases.
Uh-huh.
But especially now, given up like Rasmus's pop, he strikes out a lot. But I mean, Ghost's having a hard time getting on base, and I don't know if he's getting the green light to bunt or if he's just doing it kind of on a whim. But I've seen him pop up 2 bunts in the last, what, 2 or 3 games. I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are on that, or even tuning in maybe Mayberry, or changing it up a little bit. I think Ghost and Pilar are 2 very similar type players, as opposed to a little bit more power on the bases.
I don't think that Ghost and Pilar are similar type players. Ghost is an elite level speed and defense guy who needs to learn how to hit. Kevin Pilar is a very, very good defender who's also a lot faster than people give him credit for, but he's not in Ghost's neighborhood in either one of those facets of the game, but really nobody is. Or not many people are, I should say. But Pilar is a guy who is a legit big-time hitter. I mean, this is someone who's in his, I think it's his fourth season of professional baseball, and he has a career batting average over .300 at every level of minor league baseball. So Pilar is a guy who you think someday is going to wind up being able to be a number 2 hitter in a major league lineup. Where Anthony Ghost, I think you're hoping he hits well enough to bat 9th and helps you out with the speed and defense. So I don't really see them as similar guys, but I'm very surprised that Colby Rasmus isn't in the lineup tonight. I thought that when Melky Cabrera went down, what we would see would be a Pilar Ghost platoon in center and a Mayberry Rasmus platoon in left. And that may yet come about. But I'm surprised not to see Colby Rasmus in the lineup tonight without Melky Cabrera, for sure.
Is Mayberry, do you know, just like a backup plan, or what's the purpose for him? And you brought him into a trade. Do you think there'd be some interest in his abilities? But
Yeah, I think they want him there to hit lefties, to either DH against lefties or, well, I think originally the plan was to have him come in and DH against lefties, but now with Melky out, they're going to have him, I'm assuming they'll have him play left against lefties, but yeah, that's why they brought him over.
All right, well, great. Thanks for taking my call, and hopefully we can see them win tonight. And I think we have 7 games against Baltimore story, so I'd like to think we're still a little bit in this, but anyways, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. 6 more against Baltimore, 4 more against Seattle. They are still very, very much in this at 5 games out of the second wild card spot. Remember in 1987, they were 3.5 up with 7 games out, wind up losing by 2. I don't know that these things happen all the time, but they certainly happen a lot. We're in a rain delay at Fenway Park. And we don't know when this game's going to get started, but gosh darn it, until it does, we're going to take your phone calls because we love a good rain delay program. There's really nothing like it. There's one line open right now if you can sneak in at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Your calls continue. It's the rain delay program on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Baseball Control in Toronto. The weather in Boston is frightful, but the rain delay program is so delightful. Why don't you give me a call at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We're taking your calls till they start playing baseball. That's the way this works, and we love it. Betty is in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Betty, welcome to the rain delay program.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Wilner.
Thank you for
this
calling.
This is just an observation. Clay Buchholz.
Yes.
When you see him pitch, his hair is always greased. He's got long hair. It's always greased. If you see him the day before in the dugout or the day after in the next game in the dugout, he's got nice fluffy hair.
He does.
And he always goes to his hair during his pitching.
You know what? I've never actually seen him touch his hair, to be honest with you. And he's gotten it cut this year. Like the last time he pitched against the Blue Jays, it wasn't long. It was still gross and oily and stuff.
Yeah.
But
he goes to it.
Yep.
All the time before he pitches. And is that not something that is manager, you know, the opponent team would kind of question as to what is he doing? What's on his hair?
Yeah, but you know what? See, first of all, it's not helping him this year. This year he's got an ERA of 5.5, and he's having a terrible season. So whatever greasy kid stuff he's using this year, it's not the same as what he was using last year. The problem with it is that your guys are doing some stuff too. And if you go out and get an opposition pitcher checked, then you're opening yourself up to letting your pitchers get checked. I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. I think you tell people that don't go out there and if we're gonna go get Clay Buchholz, you guys got to make sure you're clean.
But I
really do think that's why they're not doing it. By the way, we just found out from down the line at Fenway Park, they believe the game will start at 8:20 Eastern time. So we got another half hour of rain delay program with us, but that's good. First pitch, 8:20 p.m. Eastern or 34 minutes from right now.
Okay,
that's good news. No,
it was just because I know they made the call on him last year about the grease on the arm type of thing.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
I know that Jack talked about it and Dirk talked about it, but nobody's ever gone out and done anything.
Okay.
Which means to me that the hitters aren't coming back either going, that ball just fell right off the table or that guy's throwing a slop ball or something like that.
Okay. It's an observation I always see with him.
Yep.
The day before.
You're right. There's no crap
nice
in his hair on days
day
he doesn't pitch.
It's nice and fluffy. And
yeah. Yeah.
The day he's pitching, it's greasy.
You are correct. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate the call. Yeah, there's no crap in his hair on days he doesn't pitch. And he doesn't sweat that much. Again, Jays and Red Sox going to get underway at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 33 minutes from now. Until then, the rain delay program continues. John in Toronto listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, John.
Okay, hi.
Okay, I'm sorry. Was that an incorrect hello?
No, no, it's a great hello. Okay. Why doesn't anybody give Ryan Goines the respect that he deserves? His average is up to 210. Uh-huh. He's come back.
Which is terrible.
And, yeah. And
yep.
You made the point three callers ago about four ground ball outs. Now, you know, I'm not that smart, but that revolving door at second, okay, I'm going to guess that if Goines was in there, some of those may have been out.
None of them were. Only one of them was to the...
you know what?
None of the ground ball hits was to the second base side of the infield.
Steve Tolleson made a really horrible play, I seem to recall.
Yeah, that was after the four hits, but yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to guess, Mike, that...
Why are you, so angry? Don't be so angry.
Don't respect him.
Okay, but you don't have to be angry.
Yeah, because it costs them... You know what it costs them?
Wins. What does it cost them?
Wins. He makes a lot of really good plays.
He does make a lot of really good plays.
And nobody says all that John Gibbons cares about is that he has a great hitter at every position at the cost of defense many times. Many times. Especially at second base where he's... How many guys played second base this year? Him, Kawasaki, Tolleson.
Yeah, Lowry.
What's that guy that retired? What's his name?
Mark DeRosa? Yeah.
No, Getz.
Oh, Getz, yeah. I think there have been 8 second basemen this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he's in the game, I have every confidence that the ball is going to be get caught. Because it makes me so mad when you have a player that's that much better than everybody else, and he's been hitting okay of late.
He really hasn't. I mean, since he got back, he's hitting .257 with a .257 on base. No walks in 74 plate appearances. He's not... terrible. He's certainly not doing what he was doing when they farmed him out at the end of April, where he was hitting .150 and his OPS was like 400 or something.
Okay, so if he saves a single a game, which he does most games.
Does he?
Yeah, when you see him.
Yeah, I wonder.
Let's look at last year. Just when he was in the game.
Yeah.
He had, and I'm going to tell you, last season, 11 double plays in 13 games, and he got 2 in a late-inning defensive substitution last year when he played 2 innings.
Right, and you know what? It's a great debate to have, John. And honestly, I don't know what side I fall on it. I mean, you got to score runs to win, but obviously you don't have to score as many runs to win.
To keep a second baseman in there that catches the ball and keeps everyone settled down. And I would even argue...
Keeps everyone settled down.
Even argue...
What does that mean?
Well, you know, you have an offense that's pretty good already, don't you? You don't think the Jays' offense doesn't need to... You know, they can have a bad hitter in there.
Yeah, well, you would think so, but I mean, they haven't exactly been tearing the cover off the ball in the last few months.
I would argue that he also makes Reyes a better shortstop.
I don't know that he makes Reyes a better shortstop. I think he and Lurie in combination make Reyes a better shortstop. But Ryan Goins doesn't cover much ground on the other side of second base.
And he covers every ball that you... When the catcher throws the ball to the second base, Goins is always the one that takes the ball on a stolen base.
That's
when
not,
he's not
that's
in,
not true,
Reyes, it is.
No, it's not. That's categorically not true. It's
second. Maybe
look, I know you love Goins. I do.
I don't love him. I love what he does. If you got a .260 hitter that catches everything in sight, you can have a second base. You can afford to have that position with the Jays' offense to be a weaker position.
I don't disagree with you, and I appreciate the call. I don't disagree. And I agree with you that Goins doesn't get the respect from the Blue Jays he deserves. And I was talking about that with Joe Siddle. You know, I don't understand why you're so angry when we basically agree with each other. But what a great debate to have about run prevention versus run scoring. The thing is that the Blue Jays don't have a big-time offensive second baseman. So there's no reason not to use Ryan Goins out there all the time. It's not like you're taking a much, much better bat out of the lineup by using him. And he does take away hits. Does he take away a hit every game? I don't know. Does he take away multiple hits some games? Sure. Is that run prevention worth what you lose offensively? Maybe. And I wonder, if you put 9 phenomenal defenders out there, or 7 phenomenal defenders on the field behind the pitcher who can't hit at all, is every game just going to be 20 innings of nothing, nothing? Of course not. But are you going to win more games than you lose going glove, glove, glove? Probably not. But it's so interesting to think about that sort of thing. And you know, where do you sacrifice offense for defense when it's that much of a sacrifice of offense? Blue Jays and Red Sox are going to get underway at 8:20 Eastern time. Andy is in Clayton, Ontario, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Andy, where's Clayton?
Clayton is just about an hour outside of Ottawa.
And you can pull in?
Well, I'm on 1310.
Oh, see, you lied to J.D. Bunkus. Yeah. You shouldn't do that. All right.
Anyway, I'd just like to say I was so happy the way that Melky Cabrera played this year. I think by far he was the best hitter on the team. You know, how he went about his business day to day. He wasn't dancing around like he won the World Series every time he hit a home run or just a hit. But I'm really disappointed that he broke his finger and now he's going to take himself out for the rest of the season. I think if he wasn't a free agent,
he'd probably be taking himself out.
Well, I think if he wasn't a free agent, he'd tape that finger together.
Are you kidding me? This guy played with a tumor on his spinal cord for 3 months last year. And you think in the middle of a pennant race, he's taking himself out?
Well, if he wasn't a free agent, I don't think he would.
Andy, that's the most, that may well be the most ridiculous assertion that's ever been put forth on this program. And there's a very, very high bar for that.
When I was a kid, for $8 an hour, I had to work every day with a broken hand.
It has nothing to do with any of the experiences that you have ever had in your life. Nothing. I could go to work with 2 broken legs and 2 broken arms every day. And I only make a tiny bit more than $8 an hour. But I could not play professional baseball at an elite level. You got to do better than that. Thank you for the call, Andy. There is zero chance that Melky Cabrera could be playing right now. Zero. Broken finger, the tendon pulled away from the bone. There's an avulsion in there. Got to have better takes than that on our rain delay program. Mike is in Downsview. I am very partial to Downsview myself. How you doing, Mike?
I'm well, Mike. Thanks. First, I want to say, and by no means do I think the Jays are out of it.
Because they're not.
But I wanted, there was an article in The Sun, basically, by Ken Fidland. And so I'm looking to next year just for the reason of the article, where Melky Cabrera is quoted to say that I love the city of Toronto.
Yep.
I have great teammates, and this is a good club. This is a club that gave me the opportunity when I got in trouble a couple of years ago, and I want to stay.
Right, so which is wonderful to hear.
Like, do you think that'll help us re-sign him? Do you think he's
sure
really...
sounds like it. Doesn't it? I mean, I would think that Melky Cabrera wants to stay. And if you go in to a free agent negotiation, and by the way, what I loved the most out of that story was that Melky doesn't speak English. And everything he said to us over the course of his tenure here has come through an interpreter, through Luis Rivera.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, through Luis Rivera, who's the Blue Jays third base coach. Last night, Melky was asked that question. He stopped Louis, and he answered in English. I stay here. I love Toronto. In English. So that gave it a little extra push as far as I'm concerned. Which is not...
I agree.
Yeah. It's not to say they're going to get him for 2 years and $16 million again. But if he wants to stay, and that's where you begin your negotiations from, that's a great starting point.
I agree, and I think, though, too, a guy like Melky's worth whatever money it's going to cost, even if we pay the full going rate without a hometown discount. I mean, at least that's what I think. What do you think about that?
I don't know, because it could get silly, right? I mean, you look at Melky going into free agency, and you look last year at Shin-Soo Chu going into free agency. Now, Chu is a better on-base guy. He has a 20 home run season in his past. He had a couple of them. Melky didn't. But he doesn't hit lefties. So you're not looking at an everyday player. And he was a year and a half older than Melky when he went into free agency. He got right. 7 years and $130 million.
Okay, that's a little overpriced for
no?
him.
Yeah. No? So I don't want to give Melky 7 years and $130 million. And there might be some team out there that's dumb enough to do that.
Yeah, but if he really wants to come back, then maybe it's not just all about money then, maybe.
It's not all about money, but if someone's offering you twice as much money as somebody else is, it starts to become about money.
I guess so, except I'm a little skeptical, Mike. If someone's offering me twice as much as anyone else, I'm going to start to wonder why.
Yeah, I'm going to start to wonder why, too, after I take it.
Oh, I see. Okay, Mike, thanks. I appreciate the take on it.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. The Blue Jays and Melky work out a deal. And if he really wants to stay, then first of all, that's great. But the question is, what's the number? And the answer to that is, I don't know. Jose Bautista is making $14 million next year and the year after for the Blue Jays. And there's no way they don't pick up that option in 2016. And that's well, well, well under market. Edwin Encarnacion also signed an under-market deal. He's making $10 million this year and next year. Or next year and the year after, that is. So is Melky going to be willing to sign in that neighborhood? Should he be? I don't think he should be. I think there's somebody out there that offers him 5 years and $90 million. Is he going to take 4 and 60 if someone's offering him 5 and 90? That would just be stupid. So I wonder what the number is. I really do. Blue Jays and Red Sox are in a rain delay. They're going to start in 20 minutes. We hope. Till then, we're taking your calls. Jim is in Orangeville, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How are things up north, Jim?
Yeah, they're great, Mike, and I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
I'm probably not going to be the most favorable caller, but I enjoy watching the Blue Jays because John Gibbons is an exciting manager. I love the fact that he has the balls to make the tough decisions and sit down people like Kobe Rasmus and bring up a guy like Norris and put him in that position when, you know, statistically that was probably his best choice. And as far as Alex Anthopoulos and everybody who bashes him, let's roll the clock back to the trade deadline and Lester goes to Oakland. If you were to offer up Bautista and one of our pitching prospects, and I'm Boston, I'm like, no, I'm going to take Oakland's offer.
Why?
Well, because Cespedes is younger. He's under contract for longer.
No, they're both under contract for the same period.
That's the only thing
that makes me like, if I'm Boston, I probably take Bautista.
You would, eh?
Yeah. He's a better hitter. And they're both under contract for the same period of time.
Cespedes is a great player, but I just can't criticize Anthopoulos for...
Well, I would never trade Jose Bautista for John Lester, for two months of John Lester.
Well, I guess that's my point.
Right.
In terms of standing pat and staying with our young guys, they want to pick off our young... That's all we got, really, is pitching prospects. We don't have a lot of position players to give up. And, to watch Gibbons put Stroman on base and run, I love that.
Yeah, I love that, too.
Makes it exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. And, I will still say I don't know that there's anyone on the planet who actually watches a baseball game to see somebody manage, but I do tend to like what John Gibbons does far more often than not.
You know, you put yourself in his position and the criticism that he is going to face when he makes those decisions, and he has the balls to make those choices. And you can criticize all you want. It can, you know, it's all hindsight management. But at least he makes them and doesn't just stand pat. He's not afraid to take a chance. And right now, the guy has, you can argue why he's in the position he is in terms of how many games back of the wild card, but he has no choice but to try and win every game, every night for the rest of this month. And that's the way he's managing, and I love that. win or lose.
Okay, I appreciate the call. I think every manager manages to win every game his team plays all year long. I know there are a couple of times you got to lose a battle to win a war, those sorts of things. But I don't think a manager ever intentionally makes a decision without that decision thinking, I'm going to win this game. But yeah, you're not going to get an argument from me about John Gibbons and the quality of his tactical management at all. The rain delay program continues for another 10 minutes or so. Then we'll get you set for baseball at Fenway Park, give you starting lineups and all that fun stuff. Right now we go out to Peterborough, listening on his computer device. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Reyes, how long do we have him for?
4 more years.
4 more years? Not at $22 million a year, I hope.
At $22 million a year.
Oh, come on now. Why are we paying him that kind of money? His defense is terrible. Terrible.
His defense is not good.
It's really, really bad. So we pay him $22 million a year to hit?
Yes.
Well, what about Milky?
What about Milky?
We're paying him, what, 14, 12, or what?
8.
You want him to take $14 million? He's hitting over 300?
Yeah.
You got Reyes? He's hitting under 300. His hitting is his best part, but his defense is terrible, sloppy. Everything goes through the left side on him. Everything.
Yeah, his defense isn't good. He's Derek Jeter defensively.
Well, I think Derek's a lot better than that, and most people agree with
it. Yeah, but they're all wrong. But
well,
that's
they're
okay.
not. They're yeah, certainly not. No, they're not. We had the center fielder, Colby Rasmus, and Reyes, and Colby Rasmus, their defense is deplorable.
That's not true.
Well, it is true. Sure, it is. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you for the education. Where are we going next? I don't have an arrow. I like when I have my arrows. I want an arrow. There we go. Bill is in New Market. Hello, Bill.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, that's wrong. New Market is not two words. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
It should be three words, you know, if you're in tennis. But anyways, what I'd like to talk to you about is our good old catcher there, Mr. Navarone.
Navarro.
No, sorry.
No guns on him.
Yeah. Navarro. He's exceeded everything that the Blue Jays expected of him.
You think?
I think do we sign him to a year, 2 year extension?
No.
And then bring Jeff Tolley and their other catchers up from Triple A as their backups, as one or two. But he succeeded everything that was asked of him.
He's done exactly what the Blue Jays hoped he would do.
Yeah.
You signed Deonner Navarro. This is a guy who hasn't been a starting player in the major leagues for 5 years. And you hope that you can get 100 games out of him behind the plate. You hope he's going to hit you around 270. Pardon?
You're going to get 120 of them this year.
They might. I mean, he's an adequate defensive catcher. He's not great, but he's hit 280. He doesn't walk, but he doesn't strike out much.
He's a contact pitcher. I don't think
he's exceeded expectations. I think he's done what they hoped he would do.
No, I disagree.
Well, he's exceeded your expectations.
He has over exceeded to a certain point.
Over exceeds not a word.
We know, because the Blue Jays also knew that they were bringing Jeff Tolley in.
Josh Tolley.
I'm not good at names.
It's all.
And we knew he was catching the old. Good old calf,
knuckleballer,
and everything else. And then they brought him in the odd time when they needed him, when they had a pitch run, and then bring him in as a catcher and everything. But the only reason they had to do that and bring him in is because the catcher they got overproved what they wanted.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if we're getting into a semantic argument or not, but I think that the Blue Jays, this is what the Blue Jays hoped they would get from Deonner Navarro. He exceeded your expectations. That's fine. He's caught 91 games, and I started most of those. He's probably started behind the plate 88, 89 times, and that's great, again, for a guy who hasn't caught much in the big leagues the last few years. I think that Deonner Navarro, this is what the Blue Jays hoped they would get from him. This isn't exceeding expectations. And he's had a fine year. Blue Jays and Red Sox getting going in 14 minutes. We'll take a couple more calls. Kevin is in Milton. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Jays fan, and you made a comment before that you think they
still have a, I guess, a slim chance of making it.
Of course they do.
I just wanted to get your comment on how you think that's possible when I think it's fair to say that the Jays have been an inconsistent team for different parts of the year.
Oh, I think that's very fair.
Yeah, and having 5 wins in a row, I mean, if they win, you know, the rest of the season, they still need a lot of help given that, you know, 4 teams are ahead of them that are playing each other throughout the year still.
If they win every game they play the rest of the season, they will be in the playoffs by 5 or 6 games. They don't need any help.
But we know that's not going to happen.
Right, of course. But, I mean, you're saying that is just silly.
Yeah, but I'm saying that realistically, I mean, for you to say that we have a chance, I mean, under 5% would be a best-case scenario of us making the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know what? That happens sometimes. Look, you look back at what's happened, and I don't know why. Maybe it's to protect your heart. But I don't know why so many people are falling all over themselves to make sure that everybody knows that they think the Blue Jays have no chance of making the playoffs. I don't understand this.
Well, I think it goes back to the fact that, you know, 2 months ago, we're all saying 100% they're in, and then they have a collapse similar to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and now we're back to square one again talking about, hey, we still have a chance to make it, when realistically, like the Leafs and most Toronto teams, unfortunately, as fans, they're very inconsistent, and when it matters, they don't get the wins.
Well, except for the, you know, 5 out of the last 6 they just got. I knew it was all going to come back down to the Leafs. I really did. You're right. It does come back to the Leafs, and it's that so terrible that the Maple Leafs have done this to your soul as a Toronto sports fan. But look, the truth of the matter is, why am I saying that the Blue Jays have a chance to make the playoffs? Because plainly, they have a chance to make the playoffs. You can get all 4 teams ahead of between them and the wild card, but they're a half game back of one of those teams and a game back of the other. So if they win today, you know, by tomorrow, there's only 2 teams between them and the wild card. These things take care of themselves. If you win, do they have to win a crap load of games from here to the end of the season? Absolutely. Is it going to be easy? No. Does it happen all the time? It kind of happens all the time. And the fact that the Blue Jays are such a streaky and inconsistent team kind of works in their favor, because when they get hot, they can get really, really hot. And we've seen that happen a couple of times this year. So they need that to happen again. Am I saying that there's a good chance that they're going to make the playoffs? No, because there's not a good chance that they're going to make the playoffs. But is there no chance? Absolutely not. Again, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the Cardinals were 9.5 games out on September 1st, and the Rays were 9 out, and they both made the playoffs? Teams go into September 5 games out of a playoff spot, make the playoffs. Not all the time, not every year, but they make the playoffs. By no means is this thing over. The Blue Jays just have to win. And they're going to start, they hope, in 10 minutes. The rain delay program has come to its conclusion. But we will Blue Jays talk it up when this thing is done. And who knows? We may even have a rain delay program at some other point during the evening.